Father, as always, I thank you for all of your goodness in everyone's life and in mine, in particular today and for my family. And we just want to praise the Lord. I just want to say, Lord, I love you, Lord, this morning. And I give you glory and praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the Lord loves to hear my voice. And I know I'm not a singer. So it's better you stick to preaching, I've been told by my kids. But look, the Lord loves to hear my voice. And I love to say it to him. So I'm going to tell it to him this morning and say, I keep falling in love with him.
Over and over again. Even sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love you to my love and I can fall in love with you. Over and over again.
I keep
falling in love with him. Over and over again. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love with my love and I. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over again.
Hallelujah. Tribute. Praise the Lord.
Falling in love with him and in particular with his name. I've been identified with his name for a long time. Even when I didn't know the power that was in that name, I've been identified with that name forever. And Lord, I thank you for that name. The name of the Lord is not only a strong tower that the righteous run into. We know that, right? And you all know that. Praise the Lord. But for me, the name of the Lord, my goodness, is his reputation. Hallelujah. And he backs up that name because it's his reputation. His word is his bond. And his word has been his bond to me. His name has been his reputation. He's over me. And every time I tell the Lord, your name is at stake. Even before I finish speaking it, he's there. Praise the Lord. So I will declare today the name of the Lord in the congregation. What is his name? Hallelujah. Actually, what is in a name, first of all? Let's talk about a name. What is in a name? Where I come from, names carry a lot of deep meaning, just like the Jews. In my culture, names have a lot of meaning. You give a name to a child, either around the circumstances surrounding the birth of that child, or something that you are thanking the Lord for concerning that child, or something that you are hoping that child will become. We don't just name children anyhow, I don't know about here in the United States, they just name children anyhow. They don't even have a clue what it means. A name is so powerful. We have seen throughout the scriptures that God placed a lot of emphasis on it. When he was about, anytime he's about to change someone's story, he would change their name. Hallelujah. He said to Abraham, Your name shall no longer be Abraham, but it will now be Abraham, because you will be the father of many nations. You're going to be the one through whom many nations will come around and about. And so your name from now on will be Abraham. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, he always changed the name of people around to give them, you know, an indication of what he is doing in their lives or what he's about to do. Praise the Lord. He said it to so many people in that Bible, you know, praise God. Sarah used to be called Sarai. You know, the Lord changed that and said, look, you're going to become a noble woman. You're going to be like a princess. I mean, you're going to be, someone to be reckoned with. You know, even though little regarded right now. He changed the name of Jacob. He said, your name will no longer be Jacob. You will be called Israel, because you have had power with God as with men. Because the man, he wrestled with God. And he said, look, the angel of the Lord got a hold of him. He said, you're not going anywhere until you bless me. And the Lord said, wow, you know. I mean, on and on and on and on through scripture. You know, praise the Lord. And look, if you want your child to be great, you know, I mean, name them something great. Praise the Lord. Even from the womb, name them something great. You know, call them, just call them something great. Praise the Lord. You want them to be a warrior. You want them to be a faith champion. Find a name that is suitable for that. This is what people do in our culture. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you a little story, which many of you don't know. My wife knows it. Maybe some of my children may know it. But my name, the full version of my first name, is, you know, it. What it means is, in my language, it means this crown is different. You know, Ade in my name means crown. And Yato means different. And from the beginning, even before I was born, that name was given to me before I was born. And I know that God knows about every, you know, the Bible says it, but I have experienced it. I mean, David said, look, all my members were written in that book, even when none of them was fashioned yet, you know, said in Psalm 139. But I know it because I was told the story of how my mother, when she was pregnant with me, was visited by a prophet and a man of God and said that this one will be different. And told her a few other things, so I'm not going to say now. But so because of that, they decided to name me that. And ladies and gentlemen, that name has been a blessing. Being first, last born in that family at four older siblings, I actually did turn out to be different. So look, names are so powerful like that. I turned out to be different. I didn't know anything about it because I was in the womb when it was said. But my mother kept those things in her heart. I didn't know anything about it even when I was a young man. In fact, I didn't hear that story until I was a grown man, you know. But when I look back, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what a wonderful God we have. Because, like I said, the last few days, that God doesn't start anything until first he has finished it. He finishes the thing first, then he starts it. That's how it works with God. You know, for us, we start a thing and we're hoping that we can finish it. Well, that's not how it works with God. With God, he finished the thing first. Then he steps back and then starts it and let the thing play out because he's already finished it. A lamb was slain before the world began. Finished. Your names were written in the book of life before the world began. Finished. I knew you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. Finished. Everything finished even before he started. And so, when I look back over my life today, my goodness, you know, the Lord indeed made me different. Of my entire family, my parents, of course, they were believers, different kind of believers, you know. But later on in their life, their faith was strengthened. They were kind of Old Testament believers at first. But eventually, you know, they found the way. I found the Lord at an early age in life. I was 17. I was brought up in a Christian home, but I was 17 years of age and I gave my life to the Lord. I heard a simple message. I was in high school. And a missionary woman who used to come there with and teach, you know, classes on Sundays. We had a group there and they used to come. She came with a guest speaker that day. And his lesson was on, this was October 17th, 1971. I celebrate all these days in my life. In fact, I celebrate them more than my birthday as of today. I celebrate the day I gave my life to Christ. And more importantly, I celebrate the day that I received the power of the Holy Ghost, you know, which was June 24, 1973. But October 17, 1971 was the day I gave my life to Christ. And I knew exactly what happened. I heard a sermon that said, you know, have you received your BA degree? All of us were in high school in Nigeria back then. I was in this class called, they called it Form 5. You know, you're about to finish one, you know, set of education and you take one set of exams and that will close that out. Those who are from that country may know it back then. And then you can go into some kind of you can do a higher school certificate or you can take another short class or short set of months to prepare you for the university and so on and so forth. Well, I was in that final year in that my school, we call it school certificate year. Then October 17, we were going to take those exams in December back then. Back then it was in December before they changed it to June later on. And said, have you received your BA degree? Well, talking to students, I was kind of fascinated with that. What's a BA degree? And they went on to explain, born again. Woohoo. And he spoke. That day, many people gave their lives to Christ. In fact, a lot of people, the sermon he preached, so powerful. Many people came weeping to the altar. I didn't cry. I didn't weep. And I was like, what are these people crying about? But, you know, I didn't fully understand, you know, because look, I was brought up in a Christian way. Before I was 6 years old, my father had taught us how to fast and to pray. And we had to get up every morning before 6 o'clock, every single blessed day, and pray, read the Bible, do all of these things before my dad would go on to work, off to work. And he made us all fast during the so-called Lent season. I mean, he would fast for the whole 40 days, you know, and then he would make everybody fast for 3 days. The little ones, it doesn't matter. The last 3 days of that so-called Lent season, you would fast. I couldn't fast. I used to sneak around, go to the kitchen, grab something to eat, run away before anybody discovered it, you know, when I was 5 or 6, you know. And, but train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. By the time I went to high school, I was age 12 going on 13. I already learned that before any major thing in my life, I needed to fast and pray. That was something I saw. I wasn't born again, but I knew that, you know. And every semester when we were in the boarding school in those days, as soon as I put my stuff down, I went on a 3-day fast before the session started. And when we were getting closer to the exams, I would go on a fast and things like that. And before I did any major thing in my life, I just learned to do that. It was just part of my life, and I didn't understand most of it. So by the time I understood the message of salvation for real, all those things were already part of my life. But I gave my life to Christ that day because I learned that it's not of works of righteousness. It's not whether you were this or that, but the relationship that you had with God. And I learned 2 scriptures, powerful scriptures, and they put in our head back in those days. Number 1, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we were made to memorize these things, you know, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You know, we were not told to shake anybody's hand or say a few words those days and become saved. No, you had to repent and you had to have a turnaround in your life, and there had to be a difference. We were also told that in spite of all of that, Ephesians 2:8-9 was the other scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. You know, it's the gift of God, not of works, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Those 2 scriptures, and then they will go on to Romans and tell us sin shall not have dominion over you, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, you must not yield yourselves to sin. You know, shall you consider in sin? And they will just pound these things into our heads. We had to learn the scriptures. And I learned very quickly that, look, I was starting a new life. And I knew the name of the Lord from when I was a young man. I was taught to always call upon the name of the Lord. And that name for me has been powerful. And I want to give a shout out to his name today. A few years later, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, I was not even quite 19. Praise the Lord. And powerful experience that I had all night long, all by myself. And immediately I began to see incredible things. I experienced some things right away. That same day, I experienced God making people blind, making them deaf, and, you know, just hiding something. Because by that time, they had a revival had broken out in my high school. And they had banned the so-called scripture, you know, then of which I was president at the time. And powerful things were happening. People were getting saved. Kids were crying out in class, telling their teachers they had to repent or they would go to hell. So the principal came down and this is enough already. You guys are crazy. They clamped the thing down, but it only strengthened the thing. We went into underground, 3 a.m. We would wake up and go into some abandoned buildings. But they told us we can't meet anymore. And we begin to pray. And that day, we had, you know, this July 24, 1973 day, we had planned that we were going to have a Holy Ghost baptism meeting. I myself hadn't received the Holy Ghost baptism. I had been going to some places being prayed for, but I hadn't really received. And I was going to minister. I'm like, look. So the night before I went somewhere, I locked myself in the room all night long. I said, Lord, this is it. 2 of us are entering the pants together, trousers together. Nobody, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere today, tonight. And my goodness, what I experienced that day, I can't even describe it. So when we came to the meeting in the morning, you know, and students were going to pass by because that room was right there by the dining hall where we were going to have that meeting. We went in there. We declared that the Lord, you know, students were supposed to you know, report if they saw any group gathering and or doing any of these things. And it was right across also from the principal's office. And we went in there, and initially when we got in there, we were going to close the doors, close the shades, and hide. And someone said, no, why do that? You know, let's believe God. And I said, yeah, let's believe God. And we believe God. Open the windows, open the blinds, you know, and pray that God would make all these people that are passing around, they are passing through there, but we're going to be there all day long. They're passing there to go and get their breakfast. That room was actually adjacent to the dining hall. And we're going to go and get their lunch. Dinner, we're going to be there all day. And they will pass by and we would open the doors, we'll open the windows, we'll be singing, we'll be screaming, we'll be shouting, and they won't see anything. And we prayed, and it was so. People were passing by. Nobody even heard us. Nobody even saw anything. Nobody even knew we were there. And we were singing, shouting, hollering. There was a lot of people there. And the reason I know God actually did it was several days later, we came back, and there was just about a handful of us in that same meeting, in that same room, not that kind of meeting. And we're just there, just a few people, just to have some small fellowship. But we forgot to pray that kind of prayer. And the moment we started like this, somebody banged on the door. That time, we actually had the doors closed, the shades down. Quite unlike the other day, when we had the doors open, windows open, everything open. And people were passing by. I didn't even see that we were there. And, you know, the next time around, they were there harassing us already before we even started. So I knew that God answered that prayer. And that thing changed my life. I started to believe God for incredible things. And of course, I knew it's all by the name of the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say something to you also that, look, God doesn't play dice with our lives. The things that happen in your life, He already ordained it. He finished it before He started it. As a young man, I started to believe God, you know, by the time I was, before even 6 years old, I didn't know what I was doing, but but I believed God anyway. So there was a day I was playing out, you know, somewhere, not in the house, but out in the field or something. And I don't know how I knew that I could do it or that it could be done. Maybe I've heard it. Maybe I read in the Bible. I don't know. I don't remember. But it was starting to rain and I didn't want it to rain and I wanted to play some more. So I said a prayer. I can't remember what I said. But I said a prayer that it shouldn't rain, that the rain must stop. I was only 6 years old. I don't remember the exact age, but I remember the house we were living in. And we were living in that house when I was between the ages of 5 and, you know, 6 and close on to 7, even before I got to 7. So I knew I had to be in that age. And I prayed. The rain stopped. And I said, wow, this is cool. So I prayed again that the rain should start. The rain started. I mean, I did that 4 or 5 times. And it was just happening just as I was doing it. And I was so excited. I don't know. I didn't know that somebody could do that. I didn't know where I learned it from, but I learned it. You know, but I also learned at an early age that when you pray, you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I learned at an early age. That's how my dad used to pray. He didn't pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. My goodness. And there was so much power in that name. Well, I ran indoors to share the news with some of my older siblings, you know, that I was able to stop the rain and make it start again. And they just laughed. You can't stop the rain. He said, the rain just stopped and started by itself. You know, get out of here. So anyway, but, well, I said, well, I know what happened. The rain stopped because I prayed. You know, and from that day till now, you know, God has given me grace over that portion of His works. You know, every time that I need rain, it comes. Every time I don't want it, you know, then it doesn't come. So many times, You know, and that's how God puts it in there. And I'm declaring this to give glory to God, not to me. These are things that God does when you believe his word. A year or two ago, my wife was about to go to a prayer conference, and I was going to go with her. And we had all this vegetation and gardening and so forth. The water sprinkler system had broken for years, and we just manually watered those things. And it hadn't rained for a long time in Phoenix, even in Arizona. And even actually not up north in northern Arizona, there were fires breaking out because it hadn't rained. And it's so dry and everything. And so we talked about it. Well, who's going to water these plants when we're gone? My wife said. And I said, don't worry about it. There will be rain. There will be rain. And so that was earlier, sometime in the day. And then later that evening, there was a gathering storm. It hadn't rained for months. There was a gathering storm. And the thing was coming in. I mean, the clouds were getting dark and everything. And I said, well, okay. But not now. Tomorrow, it could rain when we're gone. And it was so. Just like that. And some torrential rain came the next few days. The whole time we were out of town, you know, the rain was there watering the garden, doing everything. Hadn't done for months. I came on Clubhouse in another room, and I said something about that. Actually, one lady said that they were living in northern Arizona and they were having fires. And then all of a sudden it started to rain one day. And I said, yeah. I know all about that. You know, I know all about that because it was the same exact day. And that day we went to the airport and I dropped off my car in the parking lot. I dropped my wife first at the terminal. Then went and parked the car, took a shuttle back. And as I entered in the shuttle, the driver said, oh my goodness, where did this rain come from? And I said, well, I called for it. And then he turned around and looked at me and I said, yeah. And I said, I called for it, you know, and I told him what happened. And he was just staring at me like that. But I said it in the name of the Lord. And I gave a witness to him. I said, well, you know, I prayed in the name of the Lord that it wouldn't rain. I mean, that it would rain because I was going out of town and I needed rain. And he said, well, thank you, sir. You know, praise the Lord. Why do I say that? Because the Lord deposits in us things in our lives that you may not even know. Just have to discover them. You know, and faith over the elements, faith over plants, dead tree, dead plant, what have you. I'm walking my faith over many other things, but some of those things are just natural. I just only have to say it and it's done. It's a done deal. I don't even worry my head about it. And my wife often reminds me of this faith, you know, because sometimes when I'm not walking in that realm and I'm just thinking like a man, although it's part of me now, she would say, well, don't forget. And I remember the Lord one time, you know, when we started our church here in Phoenix years ago, and I was wondering what the culture of the church would be and things like that. And the Lord was telling me things. And then there was a time we were having problems, you know, just the, you know, certain things, you know, to wonder how the Lord would do some things. And one day the Lord said to me, but don't forget your secret weapon. And I said, well, what might that be? And he said, your faith. I said, I knew that. And I don't know. Of course I knew that. Of course I knew that. But yeah, you know, and I've had this faith in the name of the Lord forever. You know, I have known that by the name of the Lord, if I through faith in his name can say anything, I believe it with all my heart that it will happen. And it's been like that for a long, long time. And here I am today. And when I was in high school, when I went to university, people said, oh, it's youthful exuberance. It'll all pass away. That's what they used to say in the 70s. You know, but they said, youthful exuberance. But look at me now. Praise God. Youthful exuberance, nothing. You know, this was my destiny. You know, I was destined to be like this. And it took me a long time before I figured it out. But I thank God that I figured it out. By age 17, I figured it out. By age 19, it was incredible. When I received the Holy Ghost, everything was different. People were looking at me. I would go to places and do some things and talk. And people would say, you know, and I said, and they said, well, why don't you give your life to Christ? And I would not even mention this 1971 event. I would mention the date I received the Holy Ghost. And he said, it's impossible. There's no way that you could know all these things and be able to do all these things in such a short time. But that was like just a few months later. And I said, well, and the Holy Ghost, he'll hit your life. You know, it's like a tornado. It's like everything just happens because he is the embodiment of all power and knowledge and everything. All you got to do is make yourself available. And ladies and gentlemen, I am here today to testify to the power that is in the name of Jesus. And if you know how to walk that name, know how to use that name, and you know how to the right buttons to press with that name, there's a couple of people in the Bible that knew how to do that. David, he knew how to do it. Hezekiah, he knew how to do it. You know, and the story of Hezekiah, some of you have heard me tell it, you know. And he said, look, Lord, your name is at stake. Because all those other gods that Sennacherib threw into the fire, they were no gods. They destroyed their nations of a truth. But for you, you are the very God. The God that dwells in the middle of the cherubims. Now, show these people who you are. Hallelujah. Now, when you pray like that, when you know how to make God's name be at stake, for the thing that you're asking, not about yourself, you know. Hezekiah didn't say, now, Lord, save us from his hands so that we may not be destroyed and our wives may not become widows and our children may not become fatherless and our land may not be, you know, demolished. No, he says, save us, O Lord, from his hand, that all the people of the earth may know your name, who you are. That's right. That's where the power lies, ladies and gentlemen. When you make it God's fight about him protecting his name, it's a done deal. It's a done deal because he will stand up and he will fight for his name. You know, and in one night, 185,000 people were slain that came up against them. The angel of the Lord, one night, one person, one angel. That's what he came to wipe them all out. So I encourage us, use that name. Jesus said it himself. Ask the Father anything in my name. Look, some people like to pray and dedicate people and marriage in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you right now today, that's wrong. It's not in the scriptures. We're never told anywhere to pray in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. No such thing. One scripture in the Bible, but it was talking about baptism. It wasn't even talking about prayer. You know, so, and even for the baptism, all throughout the book of Acts, the people to whom Jesus spoke, when they baptized those people, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the name. Father is not a name, it's a title. Son is not a name, it's a title. Holy Ghost is not a name. But Jesus Christ is a name. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, but shall save his people from their sins. Now, when you know that name, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, after they healed the man that was lame, and the people gathered around to make something of it, they said, no, don't think that by our power we've done this thing. But your, you know, the what you are seeing today, your eyes are witnessing the power that is in the name of Jesus. Faith through his name has given this man that you see today this perfect soundness before you all. And they gave witness to the name of the Lord. And this is what we must do. Anytime you get a chance to give a shout out to the Lord, use his name. Put his name out there. And the name of the Lord is also a stumbling block. So put it out there. The devil hates that name. So put it out there. Rub it in the devil's face. Hallelujah. Make the devils aggravated. Because, you know, the devils, when they hear about Jesus, have you come? Have you come to do something? You know? Yeah, we come to do something. Shut you up. Shut up your mouth, Jesus will say, and come out of there. Jesus did, you know, I mean, they will beg him, please, You know, don't send us away. Don't come out of there anyhow. And Jesus will tell them. And if you know how to use the name of the Lord, don't back down from anything. Come to the battleground with the name of the Lord. You know, but you choose. You choose the place. You know, don't go meet the devil in his own arena. Uh-uh. You tell him, you want some of this? You come meet me over here. I'm standing right in the word, and I got the name of the Lord. And when you speak the blood of Jesus, he can't even come through. Say, I'm right here. Because we overcome by the name of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We know his power. We know his name. But if you don't know his name, you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva, who went and said, well, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. And the devil answered back and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And he pounced on them and finished them. Yeah, but when you know the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, one time I was privileged, my wife and I going somewhere to use the name of the Lord to deliver a man who was a lunatic for many years in Lagos. He was in a place called Race Course. Some of you have heard that story. He was in this place and he lived under some rocks there. And if you pass by that side of the street, he would jump on you. He would beat you up, would tear you. And people just knew it. Every time you got to that part of the street, you just walked some other way. Because this man could jump at you at any time. One day, my wife and I, we weren't even married then, but we loved to go around and just minister the gospel or do something or witness or something, what we called it back then. And we were going somewhere. Can't remember exactly what we were going to do, but we were passing by that place. And I remember that that's the area where this man was. So I quickly wanted to cross over to the other side, you know, and to keep myself and this lovely woman safe. And as I did, Holy Ghost was in my face. Holy Ghost was right there in my face. And he said, in so many words, I don't remember exactly what, but, you know, he's saying in American terms now, it would be something like, you got to be kidding me. That's what the Holy Spirit would have said. You got to be kidding me. You're going to walk away from that? You got to be kidding me. Now, you go over there and you set the man free. I'm like, well, you know, Lord, you know, I just trying to keep my woman safe. You know, I got to, you know, take care of my woman over here. And the Lord is has a sense of humor. You know, you joke around with him, but you're going to do what he said. You know, I went back over there and told my wife, you know, we're not married then, but I told her, you stay over here on this side of the street. I'll be back in a few. You know, and I crossed over. But of course, she didn't stay. She crossed over with me. I said, I told you to stay over there. I said, no chance. You know, and so I walked towards this man. He came out of that thing, that place, wild and everything. I was going to attack me. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, come out of him, you foul spirit. My goodness. And he stopped short. You know, just a few inches or feet in front of my face. And he, you know, all kinds of things began to happen. Drama, you know, for a few seconds. Rolled and did all kinds of things. This ugly smell came out of him. A few seconds later, eyes calmed down. Said, what happened? Where am I? I said, well, that's a long story. But give the Lord the praise. The name of Jesus just delivered you. Something like that. You know, and this man, for many years, I don't know how long it's been like that. For many years, it's been like that. And, you know, in Nigeria back then, you were not homeless. Unless you were really crazy, mentally crazy, deranged, because you had a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, uncle, or somebody that you could live with. You know, if you were living under the rocks in the street, you were really, you know, like demons of gathering or something like that. So anyway, took him to Salvation Army, got him all cleaned up, you know, and one, you know, the next fellowship day, he came and gave his testimony. My goodness, that thing sparked a revival. Oh, yeah. Revival. You know, now, that was the name of the Lord. Many other stories, but I won't go into that. But let me you know, finish this testimony today to tell you all the great things that this name has done for me. This name of the Lord. In fact, as you know, many people know that. They know that they know to call upon the name of Jesus. Well, why? Why do you call upon the name of Jesus? You know, because God has given him a name that is highly exalted. Hallelujah. According to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. That name is so highly exalted above every name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, and God backs that name up just the same way he backs up his word. That name is his reputation. You know, when you use that name, hallelujah, God will stand up and he will fight for you. And when you know how to combine that with praising the Lord and calling out his greatness, nobody like David in that Bible knew how to press those buttons. And the Lord, he said, the Lord stood up, he blasted with out of his nostrils, thunder and fire and lightning, and coals of fire kindled by his voice and his appearance. And he spoke and thundered from heaven and he rose on my behalf and so on. You know, use the name of the Lord and praise him with it too. Moses was a man that knew how to press those buttons. When the Lord was angry with Israel and said, I'm going to wipe you all out. You know, stiff-necked people. Moses said, look, let me tell you something, Lord. These Egyptians and all of these people, they have heard what great things you did, you know, and they fear your name. Now, if you destroy these people, you know what they are going to say about you? That because you couldn't, you know, handle them, that's why you destroy them. Your name is at stake here. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you pray. You know, when you are faced, when you are in a crossroads, when you are faced with things that are, you know, impossible in the human realm, nowhere to go, you can't, you know, there is no way on earth that you can get out of that situation. You know, then you tell the Lord, your name is at stake. Your name is at stake here. And when you tell it to the Lord like that, my goodness, the Lord said to Hezekiah, yes, my name is at stake and I will defend this city for my name's sake. That's how God answered Hezekiah after he prayed that prayer. I will defend this city for my name's sake because you told me now, you challenged me and I'm engaging. You know, when you challenge the Lord about his name, which is his reputation, he will engage. Hallelujah. When he engages, it's over. Praise God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have used this name and I want to give praise to this name on a day such as this. And I say to everyone here and listening later on, peace to you and at such a time. I greet you in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I have run into it many times and I've been safe. And not only run into it, I have used it to overturn situations that there was no way out. No way out. But because I have understood, even from a young age, what that name meant. And I'm learning even closer and closer. You know, every day the Lord's revealing more to me about his name and his word and who he is, what he does with his name, what he does with his word. You know, how he does his things. I mean, new revelation all the time. And every time I know it's all because of his name. For we are called by your name, Lord. And the Lord said many things in the Bible about his own name. He said, for my own name's sake, I will blot out your transgressions. For my own name's sake, I will write my laws in your hearts. I mean, the things that he does, according to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, that he might be glorified. He does these things that he might be glorified. Well, you can put it this way. He does these things because of his name. Every time you say, for his name's sake, what does he mean? What does he really mean? Well, it means that his name is at stake. You know, His name is at stake. Don't be afraid to challenge the Lord like that. His name is at stake. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, he said. To give unto them beauty for ashes. The joy, oil of joy for mourning. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, but ultimately that he might be glorified. That's how he does everything is for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And I will publish the name of the Lord. My doctrine shall drop as dew. For I will publish his name even among his congregation as I am doing today. I'm publishing the name of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. I challenge you. Take that name. Use it. Praise God. And put, you know, it's like, look, put all your, everything you have into that name. The name of Jesus. Powerful. And when you back that up with his word, oh my goodness. You know, now, the word of God, like I said, is his bond. And what good is a man that can't keep his word? Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know how to keep your word, you say something but you can't do it, well, you're really no good to anybody. And many of us fall short in that category. Not because we are not well-intentioned, but because we don't have the capacity to back up anything we say like that. But God, he has the capacity and then some. To back up what he says. Hallelujah. Because first, it's already finished before it even started. So if he tells you, you know, then it's already done because he already finished it before he even started it. And so if you can have that kind of confidence and if you can know that kind of, just have that confidence in anything like that, you know, unusual faith brings uncommon results. When you can have that kind of level of confidence and interaction with the Lord, my goodness, miracles will just be falling at your steps.
Amen. Hallelujah. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Yes. I'm not finished yet. Let me finish this. Praise the Lord. So the Lord's name is the name above all names. It is the name that we must use every time to get the victory that we need. That name will defend you because God will defend his name. And when you use that name in your situation, he will defend it. So that's my record today of my tribute, my testimony to his name. And what his name has done for me, my family, or my life, I could go on for 6 hours and I'll still be saying it. I'm going to leave it there as I know my wife and others may be excited, you know, about my birthday. But, you know, one thing I've known is I will always put the Lord first, birthday or not. This word must go on. Now, those of you who want to celebrate my birthday, you will do that in a few minutes, you know, when I finish this up. And I'm finishing now. And thank you for your patience. The legacy I wanted to leave to my children, and I'm thankful that many of them are picking it up, is the faith in his word, confidence in his name. Powerful, powerful combination. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, as I celebrate today, or as people celebrate me more so, you know, I am thankful for what his name has been in my life. And I rejoice and I give praise to him. So, Father, I thank you because before I was even formed in the womb, you knew me. And you ordained me to be whatever you wanted me to be. And in due time, when you revealed your name in me, you called me out of darkness, brought me to your marvelous light. And I thank you, Lord, because you also gave a promise that I will lose none of them. I will raise them up at the last day. So I know, Lord, that you finished this work in me that you started even before you started it. And I am so blessed and so thankful today And I thank you for myself. Thank you for my wife, my children, grandchildren. Thank you for all my brethren. We give you, Lord, the praise. And we give you, Lord, the glory today for all of your goodness over our lives. And in particular, over my life. And thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.